Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with hosts Amy Babinchek, James Kernan, and Carl Polacek. Produced by Kernan Consulting and for the international MSP community, we are dedicated to making every IT professional a successful IT professional. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the SMB Community Podcast. This is James Kernan with Kernan Consulting. I've got a special guest today. We are going to talk about exit planning and the importance of creating your legacy and the strategic planning that goes into that. Today, I've got Mr. Justin Maxwell, who's a partner at Big Life Financial. Hey, Justin, welcome to the program.
Hey, James. Thank you for allowing me to be here. I'm excited to talk about the subject. I care about it a lot, and I'm excited to hopefully bring some insight that changes the way that your listeners think about legacy.
All right, good. Yeah, I was excited to talk to you about it as well, because I've been a consultant in the channel for a long time. And in my 20 years, I work with a lot of people, and a lot of them put so much energy just on kind of growing their business, and then maybe one day they think they're going to sell it, but that's kind of it. There's not a whole lot of thought and strategy that goes into all the other things that you should be doing. So I'm excited to talk to you today, because I know how important that is, to everybody out there. But before we do that, tell everybody a little bit more about your firm. I'd like to hear, maybe a little background on the firm and the services that you guys provide.
Yeah, so I appreciate that. So I'm Justin Maxwell. I'm a partner in the firm. Our firm's name is Big Life Financial, and we classify ourselves as what we call ourselves a fractional family office. Now, I completely understand that a lot of people have no idea what that even means. But for a quick just run through of like what a family office is, family offices at the highest level are for families that have created a net worth of a base minimum of around 100 million, but usually you don't even see real family offices to get the $200 to $400 million net worth mark. But is what is happening is the family office is saying, we have all this wealth, we've generated it through usually business. In almost every instance at that level, it's business. And we would like to have advisors only work for us. So we want our attorneys, our accountants, our investment advisors, our insurance people, they only work for our entity and our business and our wealth. And their job is to grow and protect it. Right. So that's the idea behind a family office. But most of your listeners aren't at that level yet. And so what happens is you start to scale down into the level that we're talking here with the low to mid-market business owner is you start to have what we call siloed professionals. So the accountant is saying one thing, the investment advisor is saying another thing, your business is usually doing its own thing, not in alignment with really anything else. And so we feel like the best way to operate as a firm is to have all of those professionals actually communicating and collaborating consistently. And so we've built the opportunity for business owners to have access to that communication collaboration for them without having to pay the millions of dollars that it costs to run a family office on an annual basis.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Yeah, so obviously that's important. And then how many different divisions do you guys have was it three?
Yeah, we have four actually. So we have our accounting firm, we have an investment management firm, we have a protection firm, which does insurance and estate planning and legal protection. And then we have the easiest way to say it is a boutique investment bank firm. So people that want to scale through acquisitions, scale through mergers, go to a specific, I want a valuation of X amount of dollars. We can help them do that through acquisition most often. And then the key sauce is, because all of those things exist on their own for the low to mid market business owner. I'm sure your listeners already have those professionals in their life, but our secret sauce is that we make sure they're all talking. So they all know where everyone's going. There is no competition over money or dollars, or it's just, we're on the same page. We know where the business owner wants to go, and we unite those services together.
Got it. Okay. All right. So let's maybe start here. So where would one of our listeners, so the normal audience, maybe sub 1 million to 5 million. So that's kind of the normal business owner range that listens to our program. So where would someone like that start today? What would they need to start planning? Maybe they're 40 years old. They've got another 10, 20 years in the gas tank to maybe throttle the business. What are some of the things would you encourage them to start looking at?
Yeah, so this is something, this is an observation I've had, and we didn't come up with this philosophy, but if people have read Seven Habits of Effective People, Highly Effective People, one of the things that Stephen Covey talks about in there is you have to start with the end in mind. And it's my experience that a lot of business owners don't actually clearly define what their end looks like or what they actually want. They're just playing the business game, and the range of listeners that you're at, they're actually playing it quite well. Like in comparison to the everyday American, they're making more money than the everyday American. They're usually in nicer homes than the everyday American. So I think they get lulled to sleep a little bit on like, I'm making enough money and it's just going to happen someday in the future that I'm going to be wealthy, financially independent, and everything's going to fall in place. But I have found that the first place to start is to get astronomically clear about where you're going and what is your end and what it is that you actually want to have in life. And this is an opportunity to start dreaming, start really clearly defining, what am I doing with my time? What rooms am I in? Who am I associating with? Is it grandchildren? Is it a nice home? Is it cars? It doesn't matter what it is, but just get so super clear on where you're going. Helps with this whole process that we're going to talk about in just a second.
Okay. All right. So in a nutshell, it's nothing different than we talk about it in this program all the time. It's, you know, start with your goals and objectives, start with your business plan. So you just need to kind of have, what's your strategy? What's the end game of the goal? What's your real ultimate goal look like? So I like that. And then kind of once from there, you know, obviously creating your legacy, you know, you're trying to grow your business and increase your net worth. And a really important point of this, a lot of people really don't pay close attention to, is what I call saving money. And it's, you know, tax, you know, legal tax planning. So I know you guys have a division there. What are some of the examples of things that you've helped your customers with from a tax saving standpoint?
Yeah, it's a great question, because this is really critical, because oftentimes what happens when you get to the level of success your business owners that have got that is they start to be told paying taxes is just a consequence of making good money. So you just have to kind of get used to it. So people, again, can be lulled to sleep a little bit on, are there things I should be doing or not doing around taxes? And I want to make sure that people understand that every dollar you save in taxes is a dollar that you get to keep and either reinvest in the business, spend on something. Like it's not free money. That I don't want to ever put that in someone's mind, but it's a dollar that you have already earned. Someone already paid it to you. So if you can learn how to keep it or implement systems that allow you to keep more of it, it allows you to get further faster because you have more capital at work. So is what I would like people to start viewing this as is start to create a rhythm around your taxes. Oftentimes people want to chase the tax strategy. Tell me what to do. Where do I put my money? What's the secret sauce stuff that you have in the back room that we can go chase? But I found that people that chase tax strategies oftentimes end up where they save taxes once, but not repeatedly. But taxes is an every year game. So put yourself on a tax rhythm. Every quarter, you're going to meet with your accountant, your tax professional, and you're going to make sure that you're not just talking around like, what do I owe, but how do I reduce my tax bill? How do I make it so that I'm keeping more money? And if you can put yourself on that quarterly rhythm, you're going to end up keeping more money because you're going to have greater discussions. You'll start having better conversations and things just start to stick with you more. So that's like the first step of getting taxes right, is put yourself on a quarterly rhythm.
Okay. All right. So you said a couple of things. I just want to highlight, make sure that listeners heard that. One, you said the strategy is really an every year strategy. I mean, some of it trickle, you know, rollovers, but it's every year you need to be planning and looking at what you're doing. And it's not about how much money you make. It's how much money we get to keep at the end of the day, you know, and not give away to Uncle Sam. So it's all legitimate and legal, but you need to have some good tax strategies, you know, to really, the real goal is really growing your net worth. And while you're alive. And I think our greatest asset is all of our ability to make money.
Yeah.
You know, and you're right. The technology industry, there's a lot of blessed people, a lot of smart people. We make more money on average than a lot of the other industries out there. But one thing I think we're missing is really the education on how to keep it and then how to, you know, prepare for your exit or your succession plan I've always said that's the missing chapter in everybody's business plan.
Yeah. And the thing that I think the reason some people don't add it or don't think it's worth it is they don't see the impact, because it feels like, oh, I can only save X amount of dollars. Doesn't feel that big, but you have to look at it over the entirety of your career. So the way I I'll give an extreme example. I'll give a non-extreme example. So we had a client that had a $780,000 tax bill. So that was about $3.3 million of personal income that client was generating. So they were on the upper end of the scale of people that listen to this, but it still is going to highlight the point. When we went through and created the plan, it was $720,000 of tax savings that could have been had they just been executing a few things along the way. So $720,000 is a lot of money. Like, to the average person, that's a lot. To him, he could pay his taxes easily. Like, $720,000 isn't as big a deal to him as it was to other, as it is to most people.
Sure.
But we have to look at that $720,000, not just in the vacuum of the 1 year, but if we look at it over, if that keeps repeating, it's $720,000 today, it's $720,000 a year from now, it's $725,000 years from now, and it's millions of dollars lost. And so if we shrink that down to the average listener here, it's, instead of it being a $70,000 tax bill, it could have been a $30,000 tax bill. So that's $40,000 that could have and should have been with the business owner that just keeps disappearing to the IRS. And now, again, that's millions of dollars that they're missing out on in the future because they chose not to care about it today. So I really, it's a much more costly thing than people realize, because it happens every single year.
Ken. And then what advice would you give people? I'm sure you run into this where they haven't had a chance to work with you and create really a strategy around all this, but they kind of come to you maybe at the ninth hour and like, hey, I'm in the process. I've got a signed LOI. I'm in the process of selling my business. You know, how do I preserve my wealth and then try to, you know, grow this in the future? What would you talk to people? Because I run into that a lot.
Yeah, it happens all the time, because like I mentioned, most people don't know where they're going. They get the offer, they sell, and now it's like, oh crap, I have to pay a whole bunch of capital gains. I didn't realize that. And right. I don't know where to put my money. I haven't really ever invested before because most of my money was my business. Yeah. So it's really just, let's start with the first thing that we can control, which is going to be the capital gains. There's lots of different opportunities for business owners to not pay as much capital gains as if they did nothing. There's plenty of opportunities. The earlier they start that conversation, the more they can save, the more control they're going to feel over it. But even if you are at that ninth hour, there are opportunities within the United States tax code that enable you to reduce your capital gains. Once we have saved the capital gains, we now can have a conversation on how can we help you create a system that's going to produce cash flow, allow you to be in control, not just have to trust advisors to say, just trust me on the cash flow come in, but start to teach you how to become your own investor, that you actually know how to produce cash flow from assets and make it right. Yep. But this is a process. This is one reason why I like to have these conversations with you right now, is because you need to learn to become your own investor. The mm-hmm. more closer you are to being self-dependent as an investor and be able to cash flow assets and know how to invest and create it and view your business as an investment, even of itself, the more wealth you're going to have, the more control, the more peace you're going to have around your money. Because the greatest fear that retirees have once people step away is running out of money. And that usually stems from they don't know how to control it. They don't know how to create it. There's a lack of knowledge there, ignorance.
Right.
So if you can overcome that, it solves a lot of problems.
Okay. Excellent. So here's another question I had. It just kind of popped in my head of something that just came up recently. And at first I didn't like it, but the more and more I thought about this, I go, wow, this is really a great idea. So a lot of people work their whole lives and they build their legacy, they save all this money, and then they pass away. And then you wait, and through the will and your trust, you distribute cash to your loved ones. And that's how traditionally things have worked. This concept was, hey, before I pass away, I want to carve out a chunk of my net worth and share that with key family members now while I'm alive, and I can help them invest and make good decisions and come up with a strategy. What you guys offer services like that, or what I'm sure you've run into that before. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, no, it's this is where I get really excited, because once I can give people the idea that they can control all these outcomes and they get to determine when and how the money is used, it gets really exciting because you have so many choices. So what you just described is absolutely something that can be done. And I love the idea of not just like giving money to later on, but actually being able to see the impact of your money.
Right.
But the one thing that I want to point out to people is, I think this is something that people don't understand. You don't have to give away your money to your heirs. You can control every aspect of when and how it's accessed, and you can create some extraordinary solutions so that enable you, whether you're alive or not, that people have to perform certain duties or perform certain actions that then give them the permission to access the capital. So I'll just give a few ideas if you're okay. I think sometimes people don't even know these types of stuff exist, because usually when people talk about a will and a trust, it's at age 35 or age 25, you'll get X amount of dollars, and it's just very robotic. That is very real. But for the level of people we're talking about, you have a lot more creativity. There's a lot of cool things you can do. So number one is, like, I'll just give my example. Like, I want my family to be producers. I want to create perpetual producers. So whether I'm alive, because while I'm alive, I'm going to push and work, and I have a vision of creating solutions, but the money that I'm going to leave behind cannot be accessed unless you choose to start a business in whatever realm you want to do it in. And our family will invest in you. The family's money will invest in you to help you get that business going. But before you just get it's not just you get the investment for no reason. Like, you have to go through a course. You have to, you have to like show that you actually have competence. You have to have a business plan. And then if it's good enough, the family will invest in you. But the money for the family is for investing in the endeavors of the generations to come. You can control that.
Yeah.
You can also make perpetual givers. So like there's cool things like the private family foundations. Usually when people hear that, they're thinking Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation. So they're thinking billionaires again, but it's 100% applicable to just the low end seven, eight figure millionaire, which is a lot of where your customer, your listeners are going to land, where when the money's in there, it gets invested, and then you give away on an annual basis the interest. So it makes it so the giving just keeps happening. So if you want to unite your family in a passion project that gets them to come together long past due when you're gone and gets them to do good, like, there's going to be money available to give away on an annual basis. And it could be money causes that they care about. So it's things that the family actually wants to give to the individuals in that moment of, I'm really passionate about X, Y, and Z. Can we please give X amount of dollars to that? And then everyone comes together and they're talking about it and they give it away. So I just think that what you described, if you pair that with the late, like, I actually want my money to continue in perpetual, you can control that entire thing through the estate planning process. But most people don't know that that type of planning exists, and they end up for just giving it away, and then the money gets spent and everyone's a consumer, and it never actually, it's not spent the way the owner actually wanted or the creator of the wealth in the first place wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of the new way of leaving your legacy and taking all the smarts that and blood, sweat, and tears that we as older business owners have earned and learned. You know, we'll have an opportunity to help the next generation get through those bumps and bruises as well. So that's why I love that idea so much. I wanted to share that. So this kind of flows into, so you had brought up before that you guys have courses to teach. Maybe that's something in order for people to access funds, maybe off of a trust or a will. You've got many courses. Maybe you could talk about that a little bit of courses that you have available.
Yeah. So we pair our courses with coaching. So is what we like to make sure that people, our experience is when people buy courses, they either watch them and consume them, but then they're like, okay, well, how do I implement this? Or they just never actually watch them.
Yep.
So we paired our courses with coaching. So is what happens is we have a weekly group that gets together on Thursdays, and we just talk about this stuff where we want to help transform the idea that wealth is created and driven through the business, and that you can create and perpetuate this by putting structures around it, tax reducing structures, estate planning structures, and you can design the outcomes you're looking for instead of just backpedaling and landing into an exit and getting something and getting somewhere. you actually deliberately design where you want to go, and then you reverse engineer it through the coaching and courses, and we help make it possible. So you actually get to the destination you want, not just something that you backed into or society told you you should want and need, but you create the outcome you're looking for.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So really the concept, everybody, that we're talking about in the technology channel, really the primary objective for everybody is just more contractual monthly recurring revenue. It's all about that recurring revenue, the subscription revenue. And Justin's, you know, concept of what we're talking about is helping the next generation or helping your loved ones with, you know, create business plans that can help earn money, you know, that recurring revenue, you know, create investments, maybe it's rental properties or storage units, something like that, but cash flow positive, you know, with whatever business plan that they come up with. I love that. So it kind of flows in, or maybe it's a tech company, you know, who knows?
And yeah. And sometimes, honestly, I think sometimes people forget that they can just invest in their own business. Like their business is cash flowing. You could replace your leadership and you just let it keep providing cash flow. Now, that's not for everyone, but sometimes people forget that their business is something that can produce cash flow, and it can do that for a really long time if you design it and create it that way to reciprocate it. So don't neglect the business you've already created, because it could be the cash flow source that will perform better than anything that I'm not. I love all the things that James just described. I think those are things we should be doing, but don't neglect the thing that probably might end up being the best cash flowing machine of all, which is the business.
Yep. Yeah. Good point. Good point. Awesome. Well, we'd love to have you back on the program. We're running out of time, or maybe come speak at one of our mastermind events coming up. We do those every quarter, but these are great topics everybody wants to learn more about, right? Everybody's so busy, you don't think you have time, but there's some simple things that Justin talked about that I think are really important, you know, and kind of flows right back into the whole purpose of why we're here. So what a great topic. Justin, thanks for being on the program. How can people get in touch with you? What contact information, or what's the best way to get in touch to learn more?
Yeah, so we have a few options. So I'll give them. So if you want to just like follow me, I'm very active on LinkedIn. So Justin Maxwell, Justin D. Maxwell on LinkedIn, you'll find me. We also have our website, which is biglifefinancial.com. And then if people want, we have created a little giveaway that will enable people to, how do you identify, like, let's get to the, we've got to the point where we know that acquisitions is something we want to do as a means to accelerate our business growth. How do I choose the right business to actually buy in order to get me there? So we've created a little checklist of, this is how you start identifying the businesses that are actually the right fit for you. So I've created that for your listeners. So it's just at offer.biglifefinancial.com/exit, and they can have access to that cool checklist. And also they'll then be introduced to some other things that we have, but those are the three ways I'd recommend.
All right. So biglifefinancial.com is the website, or follow Justin online. I think that's where we connected, was out on LinkedIn initially, but Justin E. Maxwell, with two L's.
Yeah. Justin D as in David, Justin D Maxwell. Yep. Good. You'll find me, and I'll give the links to you, James, so you can put it in the show notes, but it will, I really appreciate the opportunity. And I think the one thing that I want to get across is wealth is not built in the grind. It's built in the design. So you can design everything that you want in the future. You just have to choose to create that. So you have to create the structure and the teams and the idea around it, and you can create it. Too many people try and grind their way to wealth, and I think that causes burnout and lack of reaching it, because they never design the actual outcome they want. So
I love that. So wealth is built not in the grind, but it's built in the design. Design. I love it. Good quote. All right. Well, hey, Justin, thanks so much for being on the program. Hope everybody enjoyed him sharing some knowledge, and we'll be in touch with you. Take care, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the SMB Community Podcast. If you found this interesting or fun, please subscribe, share with your friends, and give us a thumbs up on your favorite social media. We would love to hear from you, so reach out anytime on the website at smbcommunitypodcast.com.